It is night. In the midst of a swirling fog, in the midst of an inky sea, a ship heaves and creaks. Its lanterns glow with a cottony softness in the thickening gloom. At the helm stands a hunched figure in an oily, tattered Macintosh, a demented soul whose courage is fired by intoxication. He believes himself alone on board. He believes himself to be the pilot. He began his voyage full of hope, under sunny skies and upon warm, limpid waters. Now he is lost in the night of his ignorance. His madly staring, bloodshot eyes show him nothing beyond the chilly curtain of damp void. No star above by which to set the astrolabe. No beacon signaling a nearing ship or shore. No sound save the steady churning of the waves and splash of spray. "84 leagues I've sailed," the sailor shouts, the words steaming from his savagely working mouth, only to be instantly muffled by the uncaring night air. 84 leagues, and I'll sail 84 more. It's Treasure Island I'm bound to find, and find it I will." Another voice speaks out of the darkness beside him. This one calm, commanding, reassuring. "You know not what you seek. Let me guide you." These gentle words echo dulcetly out over the wide expanse of waters. "It's you again," snarls the would-be pilot. "There you go, sneaking up on me like before. Why don't you ever show yourself?" "You can see me when you're prepared to follow my instructions. You've not been making any progress, you know. You've simply sailed in a circle."
"Here now, I'm the captain,"
growls the sailor threateningly. The voice answers, "That's just the problem. The sea is a dangerous place. You're lost, but at least right now, you can hear me. You should let me take the helm, for at any moment, a storm may break and smash this puny craft. Or you may be misled by some apparition of light or land. Or some monster from beneath the waves may seize this ship in its jaws. Or if nothing else, the ship will sink from simple wear and tear."
"You're talking nonsense," the sailor protests. "This ship is seaworthy and piloted by an able seaman. As for your stories of danger, I don't believe them. How can you take the ship's wheel? You're a ghost, a spirit, an apparition."
Patiently, the kindly voice continues. "The Treasure Island you seek does not exist."
"What swill? I've seen with my own eyes coins of gold and silver brought back by sailors who've been there. They told me there's plenty more for the taking.
Treasure that can be clutched by greedy fingers is not treasure at all, but is merely a dream."
"No, no, no. You are the dream. What is real is what shines with the glitter of gold."
So thinks the moth when he flies into the fire. "I will tell you the real treasure. It is found in a land made of spiritual gems, where grow trees yielding all desire, where flow rivers of the purest nectar." The The sailor cocks his head, interested now, but still suspicious. This land is called Goloka. You cannot sail there by ship, nor travel there by land, or even fly there. But you can attain it in an instant through pure love. The dearmost object within this wonderful transcendental land, Goloka, is Krishna, the beautiful dark boy with the flute, who plays there eternally with his pure devotees and shares with them the highest bliss of his divine love. In a more subdued voice, the sailor asked, "If I can't get there by ship, then how can I see this Krishna?" "Through surrender alone. This ship is your body, and you are the soul. Now you are sailing blindly in the endless ocean of Maya, illusion. But if you simply turn over the command of your destiny to me, the spiritual master and guide within, you'll be blessed with this unparalleled treasure of love of God." The sailor's weather-beaten face drops and hardens into a mask of sullen stubbornness.
"Me? Give up command? That's too much to ask."
"But what command do you have anyway? You're lost." The sailor grasps the ship's wheel defiantly.
"I am the captain here, do you hear me? I am the captain!"
But his shouts are drowned out by the violent howl of a windstorm that suddenly lashes the deck, almost pulling him off his feet.